We know our gospel reading this morning out of Luke 4. Jesus essentially is saying, this is my mission statement. This is why I was sent. I was sent to proclaim good news to folks. Hey, God's going to do good things for you. Going to set captives free. Going to open blind eyes. Going to do all kinds of good things. This is why Jesus came. And when Jesus left, he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to make sure that when I go back, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit then can continue this mission of doing good things for you. And so we've been talking about how that can work with spiritual gifts. We're going to continue the teaching on spiritual gifts this morning. I want to define for you again spiritual gifts. These gifts come entirely and completely from God through the Holy Spirit to accomplish what no human could accomplish on their own. We, our efforts, our talents, our own gifts have absolutely nothing to do with what I'm defining as spiritual gifts. We're simply the vessel through which these gifts flow. Characteristics of spiritual gifts are that they are short-term, they're very focused, they're directed at a specific goal, and they're temporary. In other words, they're there to do something. When they've done that, they're gone. They should always be available to all of us, but they're not always at work. It's not our gift. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. They are supernatural. In other words, they do something that couldn't be accomplished any other way except by the Holy Spirit. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that the only way that the Holy Spirit can move through you is through a spiritual gift, because you can be anointed by the Holy Spirit to do all kinds of things. We all have talents and gifts, and that anointing of the Holy Spirit comes along to augment or to amplify our own talents, our own giftings. I believe, personally, we ought to be anointed to do everything we do. When I mow the lawn, when I carry the trash out, man, I want to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. I want to be anointed for everything, and I want to do it under His power, and I want to do it with His help. But spiritual gifts kind of are a different level of anointing. It's a different kind of anointing where the Holy Spirit is moving through us and He's bypassing our own gifts. He's bypassing our own talents, our own intellect, our knowledge. And He's doing something supernatural through us. So that's spiritual gifts. We've talked about lots of spiritual gifts, including the gift of prayer and intercession, gift of mercy and compassion. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. That's where Paul lists 9 gifts. I used to think that was the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now I understand that's just 9 of the many spiritual gifts that God may use at various times. But one of the things I have become completely convinced of, and my experience tells me this is true, is that God wants to use any spiritual gift through any of us. He wants all of us to be available to operate in all of the gifts, not just, well, I wonder what your gift is. 1 Corinthians 12. We've gone through most of the 9 gifts here, and we stopped last time in verse 10. We talked about prophecy a lot, and then the next one after prophecy is something that's called distinguishing of spirits, or in some translations is called discerning of spirits. This is a God-given gifting primarily about evil spirits. Now, some have said, oh, well, this is so you can distinguish the spirit of a certain person. In other words, so you can read people better. No, this has nothing to do with reading people or knowing what a person is about. Some have said, so you'll know who are good people and who are bad people. No, this is not a gift about people. This is a gift about spirits. And I think that it really is there to do 3 things related to spirits. One is to tell you when and if an evil spirit is at work. And then if an evil spirit is at work, this gift is there to tell you what that evil spirit is, how he's working. And it's also there to tell you how to deal with that evil spirit and to get rid of it. It's like a special kind of word of knowledge, only it's just related to spirits, primarily evil spirits, okay? You know, I said everybody ought to work in all the gifts at various times or be able to. But some of us operate in some gifts easier than others. For instance, my wife, she can operate in this gift of discerning or distinguishing the spirits much more easily than I can. You know, I'll be standing there like a lump on a log. Gee, I wonder what's going on. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's able to talk to her with the gift of discerning the spirits. But the Lord has still used me in that area some. Like, for instance, a pastor friend of mine not too long ago was having trouble with discouragement. He was almost in despair. He was ready to leave the ministry entirely. It wasn't just the church. And so we got together and we prayed. And as we prayed for him, this gift of discerning of spirits started operating. And the Lord revealed that he was being oppressed by a spirit of discouragement. And so in Jesus' name, we drove out that spirit of discouragement, and we talked to him about making sure that in the name of Jesus, he keeps it gone. And I mean, he was set free immediately. He was delivered. He all of a sudden, his whole view of his ministry changed, and off he went, and things went well. He was being tormented by a spirit of discouragement. He didn't know that. None of us knew that until this gift showed us that. Debbie and I one time were in a foreign country. I'll leave out some of the details. And we were kind of way out in the sticks and gone to a restaurant. Everybody said, you got to go to this restaurant and get this special dish. And okay, we'll do that. And so we go into the restaurant. And this is in a country where most of the folks speak English. But it was out in the sticks where they still speak other languages as well. Anyway, so we look at the menu up on the wall, go up to the counter. And there are two ladies behind the counter. And we start trying to get their attention to order something. And I mean, we were invisible to them, it looked like. They would look around us. They would talk to other people. They wouldn't take our order. And I thought, well, maybe they just don't speak English. Well, finally, a little American lady comes up. They look right at her. What can we do for you? Well, I want a so-and-so. Okay, thank you. Oh, okay, well, so we stand. The American lady moves. I come up, and I would like, and they turn around and walk away. And they're like, what is going on? This is weird. And so Debbie and I are kind of talking about it. Well, what's going on? Well, we need to pray. And so we prayed. And as soon as we started praying, this gift of discerning of spirits or distinguishing of spirits started working. The Lord said, there's an evil spirit at work here. And it's bound up these serving ladies, especially this one. Oh, okay. Well, we know how to deal with this. So very quietly, Debbie was standing right there. She could just barely hear me. It's a noisy restaurant. We're 20 or 30 feet away from this lady. Very quietly we pray, and I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off that lady, these serving ladies, and you get out of this place and quit hindering us and them in Jesus' name. And that's all I prayed. Well, as I was praying that, I had my eyes open. And as soon as I said, Satan, that lady that wouldn't look at us before, she was working on an order. She looked right up at me, looked me in the eye for about 4 or 5 seconds, and then went back to her order. That evil spirit knew I was about to drive it out. So as soon as I prayed that, I walked back up to the counter. As soon as I walked up the counter, she came up to me and said, how can I help you? With this big smile. And we gave her the order. We ate her food and off we went. Distinguishing or discerning of spirits lets you know that an evil spirit is involved, lets you know who it is and how to deal with it. Now, evil spirits, of course, sometimes can invade our dreams. It doesn't mean that every nightmare you have is a demonic spirit, okay? Maybe you ate too much pizza or you watched a scary movie before you went to bed. But sometimes it's an evil spirit. Now, not too long ago, we got a phone call from a lady in Germany who was being attacked by an incubus spirit. And this didn't take a whole lot of discerning of spirits, okay, because she would go to bed at night to go to sleep. This spirit would come to try to rape her. That was the feeling. She had physical feelings of being roughed about and things like that. And so she was terrified. She was getting where she just wouldn't go to bed at night. She tried to catch naps during the day. She was exhausted and didn't know what to do. Okay, this is an evil spirit. And what we're going to do is we're going to drive out that evil spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And we did. But then we said, look, we need to teach you how to deal with this. And we helped her understand that, look, Jesus has given us, his followers, all power and all authority over all evil and all evil spirits. And he expects us to exercise that authority. He expects us to tell those evil spirits to leave and to not come back. And so we taught her how to do that. Now, that night, she went right to sleep and was able to sleep all night. The next night, night after that, this evil spirit came back again. And she drove it away when it came back and was able to go to sleep. And this happened a couple of times. And after a while, it's been quite a while now. She hasn't had any trouble at all. God completely set her free. Remember, our church one time was having nightmares, night terrors, he called them. He'd wake up just terrified in a cold sweat. One Sunday morning, he'd mentioned that to somebody, and they said, well, let's just pray for you. Okay, let's pray for you. And as we were praying for him, again, this gift of discerning or distinguishing the spirit started to work, and God revealed through this gift, that's a tormenting spirit that's causing these night terrors. And so again, we rebuked it. We taught him how to rebuke that. And he had the same experience this lady had, that it tried to come back two or three times. But after a while, that evil spirit realized, this guy is going to kick me out. I might as well not come back. And he quit coming back. That guy was completely set free from that. That was because this gift was an operation to know, son, it's not the pizza you're eating. It's an evil spirit, you know, and it needs to be dealt with like that. How many of you know that the devil's a liar, right? And the father of lies. And so he lies to us, tries to bring us false ideas, false information. He tries to trick us, deceive us, right? Did you know that he can also bring you false symptoms of sickness? Did you know that he can bring you false emotions? Let me give you a couple of examples. Prayed for a fellow that had some internal problems and was going to need surgery. Matter of fact, if the Lord didn't heal him in a week, he was going to have surgery. But as we prayed for him, the gift of healing was an operation. He said he could feel being healed. He could feel his body on the inside knitting together and being made right. And so he canceled the surgery. The pain went away. He was okay. After, I think it was about 3 weeks, the pain started coming back. And so he called. He said, I don't understand this. I know God healed me. I mean, I could feel God healing me, and yet now the pain's coming back. What's going on? I said, well, let's pray for you. And so as we began to pray over him over the phone, through this gift, Lord revealed, these are false symptoms from the devil. This is the devil with lying symptoms. He's coming to you trying to make you think you still have this disease. And oh, by the way, if you accept these symptoms, the disease will probably come back. He said, oh, okay, well, I know how to handle this then. You know, he rebukes the devil. Tell the devil, I'm not going to have these symptoms. And sure enough, the symptoms went away, and he was completely set free, and has been for a while now. Had a member in our church who was in a place where they were working with the public a lot, and they were being tormented by a spirit of rage. Now, when you're working with the public and having trouble with the spirit of rage, that's probably not a good combination, right? The boy was about to lose his job. He didn't know it was a spirit of rage. All he knew was that he would just all of a sudden during the day, he would just get these powerful feelings of rage and anger. And he was ready to twist people's head off. And he was just angry. And it was coming out. He said, boy, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to lose my job. I got to have some help. Let's pray for me. So, Lord, so everybody gathers around and we start praying for him. And again, this gift of distinguishing or discerning of spirit starts to work. And the Holy Spirit says, that's a spirit of rage. This is a false emotion that the devil is bringing on you. So you need to deal with it as a demonic attack, as opposed to there's something wrong with you and you're getting mad too easy, you know. And sure enough, he did that. Again, he learned how to deal with evil spirits and how to make them go away. And the Lord touched and healed him. Now, it took him a while before he was able to really get completely free, but he did. Sometimes, I don't know what it is, you got to convince them that you're serious and you know who they are and you got to make them leave you alone. But even with false emotions, these false emotions can be discouragement, despair. I think that really was a false emotion that pastor was being attacked with. Can be feelings of jealousy, fear, anxiety, all kinds of false emotions. Now, I'm not saying that every time you feel afraid or every time you feel jealous or anxious, that's a demonic spirit at work. But it can be. You need to recognize that so that when this gift starts operating through you and the Lord says, that's a demonic spirit, you don't go, oh, no, that can't be a spirit because it's my own emotions. Well, maybe it's not your own emotions, okay? Or symptoms. Debbie and I both have had this happen to us, and we've watched it happen to other people, where we'll start getting symptoms of a sickness, and then we realize, well, I'm not sick with that. I'm just not going to accept it. These are symptoms from the devil. I'm not going to take that. And it goes away. Yeah, it happened last week to Debbie. But I'm thoroughly convinced that when the devil brings those symptoms around, if we go, oh, yeah, that's mine, and we start embracing that sickness, we're going to have that sickness, whatever it is. Now, people ask me, they said, well, how do you know when an evil spirit is involved? Well, folks, I don't. In myself, in my own ability and intellect, I can't tell you for sure that a demon is involved. Maybe there are certain signs and symptoms you can say, yeah, usually that's probably demonic activity. But look, if the Holy Spirit doesn't come with this gift, I just don't have a clue. Some people are naturally sensitive to things in the spirit. You know, they see demons, they see angels. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a sensitivity to the spirit world. I'm talking about a gift where without any sensitivity of any kind, the Holy Spirit comes and shows you what's going on. That's this gift of discerning of spirits, or gift of discernment, this gift of distinguishing, a lot of different words for it. Good friend of mine was having some difficulties. Have you ever been in this situation? You feel like you've really heard the Lord. Boy, the Lord has said, go this direction, go down this road, and you go down this road, and you get down the road, and all of a sudden the road starts getting bumpy, and then pretty soon the bridge is out, and I mean, everything is just looks like it's all going all wrong, and you go, God, surely I missed your voice. Surely you couldn't have been leading me down this road. Well, you know, sometimes circumstances help us understand what God's doing. Sometimes circumstance will tell us, you're out of the will of God, man. You need to turn around and go back. Sometimes you can't tell from circumstances. And that's kind of the situation this guy was in. This is a few nights ago. He was describing what was going on. He said, maybe I'm hearing the voice of the devil. I mean, I've got to know if I'm hearing the voice of God or the voice of the devil. How do you know? And I said, well, son, the only way you can really know is if this gift of distinguishing or discerning of spirits begins to operate through you. And so what you need to do is you need to start seeking God. I said, Lord, I need a miracle. I need this gift of discerning of spirits to operate through me. I need your Holy Spirit to speak to me about this so I'll know what kind of spirit it is. Discerning of spirits, distinguishing of spirits, being able to distinguish evil and good spirits from one another. I need that operating in me. You may have to seek the Lord for that. Paul talks about that. We have to seek the gifts. It's okay. Good thing to do. And I know the Lord will speak to him. He needed to let that gift operate through him, not operate through me or somebody else. He needs that gift operating through him so he'll know that he knows that he knows. But without this gift, we're just at the mercy of demonic attacks. Every one of us here can be used by the Holy Spirit in this gift when you need it. We just need to allow it, you know, and allow the Holy Spirit to distinguish and show us what's going on. Well, let's get to the next gift. The gift of, as Paul describes it here, various kinds of tongues. That gift is when we are supernaturally speaking in a language that we have not learned. Okay? Now, I was first filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in tongues a half a century ago. So I've been doing this for a long time, and I have gathered some things along the way about this, and I want to share some of the pitfalls and misconceptions with you. Like prophecy, there's a lot of misconceptions and garbage out there about tongues. Hopefully we can clear up some of that junk. You know, I've heard so many people say, oh, well, this gift of tongues is so you can learn a language and become a missionary. It's the gift to learn foreign languages. No, that's an ability. That's something you learn. That's not a spiritual gift. Or, well, the gift of tongues is there so that you can preach to foreign people when you don't know their language. And if you're not preaching the gospel to them, then you shouldn't be using tongues, you know. And what about the ones, how many of you have been in the service? Speaking in tongues is of the devil. Huh? You heard that? Yeah. Well, I feel sorry for all those folks, okay? Because they'll never experience what I feel like is one of the greatest joys in life. They'll never experience that ecstatic feeling of intimacy with God that comes when you're speaking in tongues. They'll probably miss out on all the other spiritual gifts too, because they'll say, "Woo, I don't want to do that one," and so they won't be able to enjoy any of the other ones. I don't know. Sometimes folks get offended by tongues. I don't know why it's so easy to get offended by that, but I've watched a lot of people. I mean, you're going along and they're agreeing with everything you say about anything you want to talk about the Lord until you say the word tongues, and all of a sudden you can just see it's like a curtain goes over their face. No, man, I don't want to hear anything about that. Don't talk to me about that. And they kind of throw out the baby with the bathwater. Look, I can't imagine trying to live life without spiritual gifts. And I can't imagine trying to get through life without the intimacy and the closeness that I have with my Creator that comes through speaking in this language I haven't learned. When I sit with Him and speak to Him in a language I don't understand, I know that sounds weird. I will never be able to run for public political office because they would take this message and broadcast it and say, look what a nut this guy is. But I'm telling you, it is a good kind of nut to be because it is a wonderful thing. This gift is like any other spiritual gift. You have to know about the gift. You have to expect and anticipate its use. You have to want the gift flowing through you. You have to seek and desire the gifts, including the gift of speaking in tongues. If you're not speaking in tongues yet, well, seek after that, just like you'd seek after any of the other good things that the Father has for you. If it's been a while since you've spoken in tongues, let me encourage you. Set your heart to making it a regular daily occurrence in your life. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Let me define for you this gift first. When you speak supernaturally in a language that you haven't learned, that's this spiritual gift flowing through you. We call it speaking in tongues. If you read a Spanish translation, they call it those languages, las lenguas. The Greek word here for tongues is the word tongue, but it means a language. A friend of ours, a priest in another communion, calls it heavenese. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Paul seems to say here that people can speak the language of angels, whatever that is. And matter of fact, maybe Father John, that's where he gets this concept of heavenese. We're speaking the language of heaven. He says, I like to call it heavenese because people get so offended and it seems so divisive when you start talking about tongues. So I'll use a different term and sneak up on them, I guess. We got a little Kenyan girl in our church. She's 5 years old. She says, oh, that's the English of heaven. That's what she calls it. When you speak in tongues, are you speaking an angelic language? I don't know. Maybe sometimes I've spoken a foreign language in tongues. I was just praying in tongues and folks around me recognized this language and they thought I spoke their language. You know, well, I don't. I was just speaking in tongues. Good friends of ours, A.L. and Joyce Gill, were ministering in Russia. They prayed for a little girl to receive the Holy Spirit, a teenage peasant girl, and she started praising the Lord in English. She'd never learned the day of English in her life, but she was speaking perfect English without an accent. She was praying in tongues, and it just happened to be in English. It was a sign to those who were there to let them understand, yeah, man, God can do this. So sometimes you speak in a language that's known to others around you. Sometimes you're not. I mean, I don't know what it is. Heavenese. Who knows what it is? Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 18 and 19. You know, Jesus said in Mark 16 there, he said, these signs will follow those that believe. And one of the signs in the list is they'll speak with other tongues. So I think the intent is that all believers should be able to speak in other tongues. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 18, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. However, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind, that is, five words that I understand, that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue, and you could put, to clarify, in a tongue I don't understand. I mean, obviously, if it's not with your mind, you don't understand it, right? Paul's tongues, when he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you put together, he was talking about a private use of his tongues. Our speaking in tongues can be either a private thing, or it can be a public thing. It can have value for the public, or it can have value for you personally. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 27. You know, this whole chapter is not really about tongues or prophecy here. 1 Corinthians 14 is about how to have an orderly church service where there might be unbelievers, people coming in that have no clue what you guys are doing, and you start doing all this wild stuff and speaking in tongues, and they go, what in the world is that? Yeah, been there. And Paul is saying, look, when you got unbelievers in the church, they're probably going to need something in a language they can understand. Let's see, verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by one or at the most three in turn, and let one interpret. In other words, you have one or two or three people speaking in tongues, and then somebody interprets what was said. That way, whoever there that can understand that language, it gets some enlightenment. He said, but listen to this. But if there is no interpreter, then let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, how do you keep silent in the church and speak to yourself and to God? Yeah, I mean, especially we're all praying together. There's music going on. I can't hear you praying, right? You're praying quietly, you know. He didn't say, if there is no interpreter, don't speak in tongues. He didn't say that at all. But I've heard a lot of people interpret it that way. He said, if there's no interpreter, then don't speak in tongues in a loud way that the whole church can hear it. Just speak to yourself and to God. That's this concept of a private devotional speaking in tongues. Some have called it prayer language. Some have called it heavenese. Some have called it praying in the spirit. Okay. I try to pray this way, privately in tongues, for at least an hour a day. I'm not consciously trying to get an hour in, you know, but I'm wanting to pray in tongues as much as I can. When I'm going from the bat cave downstairs in the basement up to the kitchen, I'm praying in tongues usually. If I'm driving in the car, I'm praying in tongues. When I'm pushing the cart down the aisle in the grocery store, I'm praying quietly in tongues. Now, folks probably look at me, but I've got an earpiece in. They think I'm talking on the phone, but I'm not, man. I am in the spirit praying and talking to God. I believe this gift of a private prayer language, private devotional tongues, whatever you want to call it, I think it's available to all spirit-filled believers. Remember I said that most spiritual gifts are temporary but always available? This one is a little unusual in that it's like it's really available all the time, and you can sort of pray in tongues all you want to, it seems like. I think it's the least temporary or least unavailable of all the gifts. I don't know how to explain that, but that's my experience. It's like speaking in tongues privately is just always available all the time, anytime you want, and the personal benefits of speaking in tongues are available right there with it all the time. When I first was baptized in the Holy Spirit, way back a half a century ago, the only time I could speak in tongues was when I was in an ecstatic state. In other words, I was very excited. The presence of the Lord was really, really strong. And boy, it was very powerful on me. And I could speak in tongues. And it was usually pretty loud and boisterous. But in quiet times, it was like I couldn't do that. But I had a good friend, and he and I we were in a church where you, as part of some of the services anyway, you'd go down to the altar in the front of the church to pray. And everybody gather around the altar, kneel down, pray. Women on one side, men on the other side. Remember, this is back in the old days. This friend of mine would start praying in tongues, and he'd be praying quietly like this, but he'd be praying in tongues, almost whispering. Man, that's cool. He's just talking to God a quiet way. It's just so natural. He's just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through him in this natural, easy way. Lord, that's what I want. And it took about 6 months of me seeking God for that and asking for that before I got to the place where it was easy to speak in tongues without, you know, being in the middle of a great service and everybody else is shouting and carrying on. And so now I can. Now, it gets me trouble every once in a while. I'll be driving along praying in tongues and just forget that there's somebody else in the car with me, you know, and they don't speak in tongues. And they don't know what I'm doing. So you do have to be careful, I guess. Anyway, then the other kind of tongues is public speaking in tongues. And that's what Paul was talking about, which needs an interpretation. And I was hoping we could get beyond that today, but we're not going to. So I want to stop here. And we will pick this up next time. We'll talk about tongues and the public use of tongues. But I also, next time, kind of clarify some things that Paul said and talk about how we're leaky vessels. We need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples were refilled with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Huh? I'll tell you. I got the secret. You'll get that next time.